My friends, this is the second message on the question that the Lord asked his critics in the 20th chapter of Luke, verse 4. You remember that on an earlier broadcast, we noticed that the enemies of the Lord came to him to ask him a question challenging his authority. By what authority doest thou these things, and who gave thee this authority? They asked him. He said, I will also ask you one thing. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? We took the question that the Lord asked them and paraphrased it this way. Gospel baptism, or the baptism that is taught in the New Testament, is it from heaven or of men? We would ask you that very question today. If gospel baptism is from heaven, then we need to search the Scriptures and read heaven's commandments and directions pertaining to its administration and its performance. If it is just a man-made ordinance, then we might do it any way that we please, or we might just as well ignore it. On the last broadcast, by going to the 28th chapter of Matthew, we established that gospel baptism indeed is from heaven. When our Lord arose from the dead, he commanded his servants this way, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. These passages of Scripture make it very clear that the commandment to baptize came from the Son of God, that the baptizers were to be the teachers were to be the baptizers, and that they were to baptize those that they had already taught. The word teach means to make disciples. It was only those that had been taught and made disciples that were to be baptized. We pursue the subject today and notice that in the different examples of baptism that we study in the New Testament, it is individuals that believe the gospel that were baptized. Now, there are three words that we need to bear in mind, and the arrangement of these three words is very critical. It's very important. It's crucial to our understanding. Those three words are birth, baptism, and belief. Now, the Lord's people would arrange those words in a different order, or a different sequence, according to their own individual beliefs. But we want to arrange them according to the Scripture. We notice that in the Scriptures that it is always a believer that is baptized. We come to the 8th chapter of Acts, and in Acts chapter 8, there's an Ethiopian eunuch that has been up to Jerusalem to the letter of the law service, and as he is returning on his way, he is reading what we know today is the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. But he is reading this without understanding. He is very confused. And he is reading a portion of Scripture where Jesus was led as a sheep to the slaughter and as a lamb dumb before her shearers, so open he not his mouth. And the Bible tells us that the Spirit of God sent Philip this man's way, and the Spirit told Philip to go near and join thyself to this chariot. Philip asked this Ethiopian eunuch, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Then it tells us the place of the Scripture he read. And of course, he was reading Isaiah chapter 53. But he was so confused that he did not know whether the prophet was writing this of himself or of some other man. In fact, that was his question. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same Scripture and preached unto him Jesus. The expression Jesus, preached unto him Jesus, does not mean that he just simply sat there and said, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. But it means that he took the 53rd chapter of Isaiah and showed why Jesus came into the world. He began at that same Scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Isaiah chapter 53 will tell you of how Jesus came into this world and suffered. It will tell you of his death that he was with the wicked in his death, that he made his grave with the rich and was with the wicked in his death, that he was numbered with the transgressors. This was a prophecy that he would be buried in a rich man's tomb, that he would be crucified, put to death in the midst of criminals or transgressors, that he would make intercession for the transgressors. And in fact, the Lord, when he was dying, cried out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So in preaching unto him Jesus, beginning at that same scripture, he told why Jesus came into the world, what he accomplished by coming into the world. He preached to him the resurrection of Jesus, and he certainly preached unto the eunuch his responsibility to be baptized. Now you might ask me, how do you know all that? Because after preaching unto him Jesus, it says, and as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? But notice what Philip says to him. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they both went down into the water. They went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Please notice that before Philip would baptize this man, he said unto him, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. It was believers in Acts 2 that were baptized. It was a believer in Acts 8 that's baptized. And it was the believing house of Cornelius that was baptized and the believing house of the Philippian jailer. So it is very obvious that the proper subject for baptism is a believer. But let us notice the Bible description of a believer. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 1, the Apostle John says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. John says that the believer is already born of God. Then we compare that with John 1:11 through 13, which says of our Lord that he came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Notice that these individuals were born before they believed, even to them that believe on his name, which were born. The expression were born is in an earlier tense than the expression believe. They were born before they believed, but how were they born? They were not born of blood, they were not born of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but they were born of God. Then we go to John chapter 5, verse 24, and the Son of God says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and once again, it is not will hear, but it's heareth. And I've said so many times that when we read in the Bible of a certain man that if he sleepeth, he doeth well, we do not picture a person that's about to go to sleep, that's winding up the alarm clock and putting out the cat at night, but you picture an individual that's already sleeping. It was said of our Lord that he eateth with sinners. Now, when you read the word eateth in the Bible, you do not picture someone in a cafeteria line with about 40 people ahead of them expecting to receive something to eat, but the word eateth describes somebody that's already eating. And if we can understand that believeth means, or that heareth means already hearing, and believeth means already believing, we can understand that as easily as we can understand that sleepeth means already asleep, and eateth means already eating. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now the individual that believes is already born of God. So the proper arrangement of those three words would be that first of all we're born of God, and the born of God person believes the gospel, and it is a believer that is later baptized. So the only fit subject for gospel baptism is a believer. And a person that's a believer is already born of God. Now we come to the 6th chapter of Romans, and we will add to our position that we have no authority to baptize aliens just to be baptizing aliens. We have no authority to baptize those that are the generation of vipers. In fact, John the Baptist would not. In Matthew chapter 3, some individuals came to John and inquiring about baptism, and John, instead of saying, "Oh, what a wonderful harvest of souls, look how many have responded," John rather said, "Oh, ye generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from wrath, the wrath to come, bring forth fruits, therefore meet for repentance." He wanted to see fruits or evidence of their repentance and their sincerity. Now in Romans chapter 6, verse 13, the Apostle Paul says, "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin." And one of the subjects, main subjects of Romans chapter 6, is baptism. Who is it that is to yield in baptism? Who is it that's to yield their members or to yield their bodies as in baptism? He says, "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." What is it that we're to yield unto God? We're not to yield the life or the actions of an alien sinner as an instrument of unrighteousness unto sin, but rather we're to yield ourselves to God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. The Lord willing, we hope to continue this subject 1 week from today, but until then, may He richly bless you, each and every one.